Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled to have you, Gabriele. Welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. I wonder, could you please introduce yourself to our audience and share what you're best known for?
Yes, hi, Kesha. Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Gabriele Gravini. I'm, professional with innovation and entrepreneurship, and I've been working for the last 18 years in corporate innovations and helping large and SMEs companies to actually create new businesses and increase their ability to compete in the market and to create new growth opportunities. My background is in science. I have a PhD in astrophysics and looked into scientific methods for many years, and that's why I found the innovation side, the entrepreneurship side, very interesting, because it's actually a scientific approach.
You've transitioned from academia and university research into this corporate entrepreneurship. I wonder, what advice would you give to people who have just made the jump in order to succeed? Kind of, how do you suggest an easier way to make a smoother transition into the corporate world?
I think nowadays, the corporate world needs a lot of fresh ideas and new approaches to actually be competing. So I think it's excellent to bring the research mindset into business development, especially when it comes to large corporations. These are organizations optimized for running business as usual and in a clear market, in a market dynamics that is defined. But the things are changing very fast. Technology is being introduced very fast, and new competitors and new market dynamics are entering. And so the idea of solving new problems and the experience of asking the right questions and finding new ways to answer those questions that are brought toward the corporation from the research and academia background, I think it's very useful. And so focus on asking the right questions and finding new approaches, and that will be a success factor for the corporate world, I think.
Wonderful. And do you have any tips for someone, an academic who's thinking perhaps they would like to jump into the corporate world but aren't so sure?
One of the reasons why I jumped from the academia to the corporate world was the academia career path tends to be cornering you in one aspect, because of the way the research funds are given and distributed. And if you actually want to be able to span a broader domain and learn new things and be able to change, I think the corporate side has an easier approach and an easier career path for that. So I think it's very good. Of course, you need to start somewhere. So start where you have already skills that you can reuse and try to present those skills to the corporations. And then once you're there, if you're an academic, you're used to learning new things very fast, it's going to be okay. So start from your strong sides first, find a position in the corporate world, and then develop from there.
And kind of moving on to kind of within Skinnier Ventures and other things that you do. So your role is to engage in corporate venture building and investments, scouting for business opportunities, and also building teams to pursue them. What do you find is a common mistake that you spot when looking at the sort of business plans and governance teams?
The corporate world. It's used to finance new business opportunities, looking at the financial model and looking at the forecasts. But of course, whenever you enter a new business, forecasts are highly uncertain. And so I think what is really important is to develop the capability to understand the customer needs and understand the trends before looking into, is this going to be a big business? Because you really never know when you are at the beginning of something completely new, a new piece of technology or a new business model, how this can develop. And then you need to assemble a team that has the right culture to really de-risk the business development in a way that your investment in developing the product, developing the go-to-market strategy is as effective as possible so that you can learn. The objective at the beginning of any new business is learning the new environment, the new business mechanics and the domain you are in. And so if you have the right team and if you are really focusing on learning what is key for making that business successful, then you can de-risk the development. And it's going to become cheaper than just, you know, investing 5 years of budget to something that is completely unknown. So this approach is called method funding, and it's what I believe is the most effective one to actually discover new business opportunities.
That makes sense with what you said about sort of the customer centricity almost part of it. You've almost answered my next question, but I'll ask it anyway and see if you can kind of, if there's anything else to add. But kind of, what is one of the first things you think about when evaluating this business opportunity, when it lands on the desk, when you first see it, read it? What's the first thing you think about kind of evaluating?
So the first thing is obviously the, is this a customer problem? It is a real customer problem that we are trying to solve. It is a nice to have. It is something that is pushed just internally. If this comes from an internal organization, we need a cooperation. So are we doing this because some, you know, high manager wants to do it, or we are actually solving a real customer problem? And then I'm trying to assess the value for the customer of solving that customer problem. And of course, you need to understand if they are already trying to solve it, if they have limitations because of, you know, the current solutions out there, the current product or services out there to solve that specific problem is not good enough technology-wise. Or is too costly. So what is that I'm doing different for the customer to really pick up my approach to solving that problem? So customer problem first, is it real? Is it something that they really need to succeed? Is the customer already willing to solve that problem, looking for solutions? And then is the customer able to pick the solution that I'm proposing? Because sometimes the problem lives in a context that doesn't allow the customer to just solve with the solution that I'm going to propose, because there is many constraints around that problem. So understanding the customer problem context is fundamental for me. And I always push the team to go outside the building, talking to the customers as much as possible, and really trying to ideate together with them before getting into solution mode and really starting coding, because you can really get it wrong. And then, of course, this expands to all the other aspects of running a business, which is the go-to-market strategy, the price point, the revenue models. All those are connected. You can have a perfect product, but if the product doesn't match the value that the customer wants to receive in terms of revenue models, for example, you're not going to be able to sell it. If the way you approach the customer is the wrong one, because maybe you go with the wrong partners or you go through the wrong part of the organization, the customer organization, that your go-to-market strategy is not going to be a winning one. So all the pieces of the business model needs to come together to have a successful business.
And with that, how often do you find that kind of these business ventures that are pitched to you or proposed, how often do you find that they kind of almost stumble at the first hurdle of that customer centricity? Or is that just something to work through and then the next step is the big one?
I always say that the CEO of a business has the most important role in setting up the culture of the team. And I see that as one of the main challenges at the beginning. If the team is not really customer-centric, if it's not really used to actually looking to the customer problems, talking to the customer, developing and de-risking the business development together with the customer, they will just be in love with their solutions and their view of the customer problem, right? And you need to break that. They need to be very pragmatic in pushing their vision of the solution, but to make sure that it fits the customer problem. And often, especially within a corporate context, I work a lot with startups as well, and that's different. But within a corporate context, you have people that are in love with their visions, and breaking that and really be pragmatic and customer-centric is the first failure point that I often see.
And do you find working with these kind of startups and working with corporates almost communicate with them in a different way? I mean, what was the best advice that you'd give to a startup, but not necessarily a corporate, and vice versa?
That's a very interesting question. So startups are always running short on cash. And so they have the culture and the tendency, the natural tendency to really learn much faster and try to really push their customer interaction early on. And so what I really tell the startups is to make sure that they really are on to something that the customer and the market wants, because they do also fall in love with their vision, right? But they also need to be pragmatic. But they know that they have very short runway. And so they try to be very effective in what they do typically. But sometimes they're a bit stubborn in not pivoting and changing fast enough. In the corporate, so I tell the startups to actually making sure that the market wants that, and that they are really solving a critical problem for the customers. When it comes to the corporation, I tell that, but also I try to ingest a sense of urgency, because they are used to, you know, early budget planning. They are used to get just a vague business development target and push that. And if they don't match that, it doesn't really happen much to them. They might just, you know, worst case scenario, they might just go to another project. But they really need a different culture. They really need to show that they understand the urgency and that they need to learn as cheap and fast as possible. And so I try to put more sense of urgency into the corporate teams.
You talk a lot about kind of teams, and I know that you do a lot of team building in terms of putting people into ventures. What do you think makes a good team? And do you think that the team dynamics, what you're looking for, really and truly changes between ventures, if that makes sense?
So within corporations, you typically don't have very entrepreneurial people. You can have them, of course, but if they are real entrepreneurs, they might have chosen another path. And so within corporation, I try to really assemble teams that are, well, they have the right competence structure, of course, for what is needed, and then try to advise them and mentor them in the learning mentality, in the experimental mentality, right? So they really need to do business hypotheses and then define tests to go and validate their hypothesis. So I try to help them with that mentality. And I think it's very important that the people that you put together in the teams, they are eager to learn. They are open to get feedback from the market on what they are doing. And that's within, I think it's a personal growth. I mean, the experience of corporate venturing for the teams is not, shouldn't be seen as a corporate career path. I think it should be seen as a personal development, because you're gonna, if you do it with the right approach and with the right mindset, your experience and your learning curve will skyrocket, and you will be a completely different person, even if the venture that you're working on will fail in 6 months or 1 year, because you have learned so much. And so I try to really make them understand that they are on a trajectory that will really make their career great in the long term. When it comes to startups, I think it's important that they have the real entrepreneurship commitment, because a startup is much riskier. It, you know, the potential upside is much higher for them, for the startup co-founders, but the risk is also much higher. So for me, it's important that I assemble teams in that environment, in the startup environment, that they are really committed to solving the problem that they want to solve, and not just wannabes entrepreneurs because it's cool and it has a nice branding around it. So the culture, in a way, in both cases, is very important to me, the culture of the team. But I'm looking into different types of cultural traits.
Do you find that when you've built this team, you still have to kind of talk them through and kind of communicate them and build a culture with them? Or once you've built this team, do you almost kind of let them be and let the culture kind of come up by itself?
Well, that depends on where they start from, right? So if I realize that, the CEO, the leader of the team, doesn't have the right experience to coach the rest of the team, then I need to step in and help them more. And that's why in the corporate world, I'm trying to hire people which have had experience in running startups and have the right culture, so that I can trust that leader more to shape the right culture in the team.
Going back to what you were saying before, you mentioned a lot about kind of sort of de-risking something has come up quite a lot, but also sort of customer centricity is also needed. I wonder, how do you suggest finding a balance between taking this time to fully understand customer needs, but then also on the other side, starting to go into the kind of financial planning, constraints, other parts of de-risking business venture? How do you find that balance? How do you kind of get things moving, but also make sure it's being tested right, and then also the planning stage?
The best way I know to understand if your business makes sense is do a financial model. And with the financial model, I'm not really looking at, okay, what's the forecast of this? Because I can't really trust all the assumptions that I made in the financial model to trust the forecast of that model, right? But I know the mechanics of that business if I do a financial model. I know how much am I expected to be the sales cycle? How much is going to be the price point? What's the cost structure? If I put all those into a financial model, then I know that I made a lot of assumptions that are hypotheses that I don't know about, because if it's something new, there will be a lot of things that are just, you know, my gut feeling or something. And then I know what is the riskiest assumptions that I made. And I know that I need to start validating that assumptions with the customers and all the partners, depending on what that is, right? So once I have that model in front of me, then I know where I need to focus my attentions to de-risk the business development, to understand if it makes sense. If the forecasting, you know, depends completely on that assumption, then I cannot trust the forecast at all if I haven't validated that assumption. And so, and that kind of mindset, and then the way I validate, the kind of techniques I can help the team with to validate the specific assumptions, is where I focus. Is where I understand, the mechanics of the de-risk in the business development, right? So try to make the tests that are important for building confidence that I'm on something good financially at the end.
But for our next part, we kind of like to learn a little bit more about kind of who you are and what you think. So we have a few quick fire questions to ask. What would your superpower be if you could choose?
Well, if I could choose, would be, you know, to see the future, of course. I'm all about building new sustainable businesses and organizations to solve real problems. So seeing the future would be fantastic.
In another life, what would your career be?
Maybe an explorer. You know, I love nature. I love nature and I love sports. I like to, you know, go around the world and explore. Maybe with a camera.
If you were to give advice to your younger self, what would you tell him?
Don't be worried. Things will pan out. I think take the time, explore. There is no wasting time when you're learning something new. Always focus on learning a new skill and doing some new interesting project. Things will be okay if you put the effort into it.
We've come to our last question. It's a question we ask all of our guests here on the podcast. Gabriele, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Oh, that's very nice. I think I'm... I've seen very weird people, so I shouldn't say, you know, 10, maybe 8. I mean, I have done a lot of different things in life, so I haven't had a very straight path, but not a crazy one either. So I'm, yeah, maybe an 8.
I love that. Well, yes, and with that, sort of, we've asked all the questions we wanted to on this podcast. Thank you so, so much for your time and giving us a little kind of snippet, a little teaser of the advice that you could give. I very much enjoyed this. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.